Jesus gave some encouraging words in Matthew 6:25. So I want to read from Matthew 6:25 through the end of the chapter with you. It's a scripture you're, I'm sure, very familiar with. But we just need to be reminded sometimes of what we already know to do and encouraged. Therefore, I say to you, Jesus is saying, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry. What shall we eat? Don't say that. Don't say, what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Here's what you ought to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know, this is just a really good subject to talk about often, because worry can become something that is prevalent in everybody's life, you know, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. And we have to know what to deal with it, especially since it is so prevalent. And so I think that's why Jesus speaks about it here. The New Testament is going to speak about it in other places as well. But what do you worry about? If you think about one or two things, maybe, hopefully you don't have a list of 30 things. Is there one or two things that you really struggle not to worry about? And here's something that gets a lot of people. You buy in right here. That represents your 401k, your TRS, your 403b, your IRA. And month after month after month after month after month after month after month, and now you're here. What do you need to do? You need to get another fund manager. That's what you need to do. But that causes a lot of people to worry, doesn't it? There's so many things to worry about that we could worry about. Fill in the blank. If you live on the Texas Gulf Coast, what do you worry about? If you live in Oklahoma, you worry about? If you live in California, you worry about? You worry about everything. And if you live in Alaska, what do you worry about? Maybe, I don't know, you know. Here's a real one, though. I mean, really. I mean, here's a real thing here, man. What if you were staring that thing down? These people are mean. Well, there's all kinds of things to worry about. What if you see one of these? You guys are way too awake this morning. I found a little picture here. Hey, sometimes change is a good thing. Are you most likely to worry about something that is happening or something that could happen? Do you worry about your family? Perhaps a child that isn't doing so well in school. Perhaps you worry about being able to pay your bills. We've all been there. Do you worry that you're not doing a good job as a parent and wonder what effects your failings will have on your kids? Do you ever get worried when a thunderstorm comes in? Buster does, or our dog. Pregnant moms often worry about the health of their baby, don't they? It's due. Children sometimes worry about whether their parents will get a divorce. Sometimes parents even worry that they might die before their time and not be there for their kids. People can worry about death. You know, we can also, many of us have been there too, worrying about our parents, you know, hoping as they get older that they don't fall and break a hip or something else, which is devastating. Do you ever worry that you're not measuring up spiritually? That you're not being all that you could be or that God expects? Or even that your failure has caused others to stumble? Well, you know what I'd like to do is have you bow your heads and have a little exercise. Close your eyes. And I just want to ask you, is there one or two things that you've been worrying about? Really been a burden and difficult for you, and you feel the stress, you feel the anxiety? Once you've named those one or two things, I'm going to give you 1 minute to do one or two things. You can continue to worry about them, or you can choose to pray. I'll give you 1 minute. Your choice. Time's up. What'd you do? Did you worry? If you worried, did you accomplish anything? Well, of course not. If you prayed, now that's a different experience altogether, isn't it? There's evidence that worrying is more than a waste of time. It can actually cause medical problems. There have been many studies. One particular doctor, Dr. Hollowell, he wrote and worry, controlling it and using it wisely. He said this: excessive worry, what he calls toxic worry, can make you sick. It can cut down your enjoyment of life. It can hamper your productivity. It's bad for every system in your body. It increases the risk of heart attack and stroke. It impairs digestion. It causes shortness of breath. It causes all kinds of musculoskeletal aches and pains. It produces headaches and even migraines. Wow. We want to get rid of that stuff. Amen? Man, that's not what God has planned for you and me. And that's just the physical side. Jesus answers his question in verse 27, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single cubit to his lifespan?" Boy, the boys were hoping that wasn't true as they were growing up. You know, we've got those pencil marks, and they start way down here on our wall, because Gunner was 2 years old when he showed up. And now Gunnar is taller than the eldest boy, Micah. And we used to mark them, and boy, they would even, you know, do that just to try to get a little taller. Jesus says, you can't add anything to your stature by worrying, though. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say you can't create change. It doesn't accomplish anything positive. It does accomplish something, but it's negative, as we just illustrated in a physical way. But it's not just about physical harm, it's about spiritual harm. And I share this with people often as I counsel with them. Not this particular illustration, but what the illustration is trying to say. In January of 1999, the North Atlantic commercial fishing industry saw a deadly string of accidents. In fact, in a 13-day span, they lost 3 fishing vessels, all within a very close proximity, 15 miles off the New Jersey shore. That's what made it so unusual. And these fishing boats were all fishing for clams. And they were trying to figure out what happened, and they ruled out 3 things. None involved a hull breach. All 3 ships were piloted by veteran captains with 10 years or more in the wheelhouse. All 3 ships were near the end of their journey, less than 15 miles from home. What was the problem? Well, on these fishing vessels, as they fished for clams, they had traps for the clams that they would throw in the water and then come back and pick up. Those traps, with no clams in them, weighed 300 pounds, empty. But when they filled them with clams, they weighed 1.5 tons. They discovered that 2 of the 3 vessels took with them 10 to 15 extra traps, which means that they had 10 to 15 more million pounds on their ship. The 3rd ship had the right amount, but his traps weren't distributed properly on the ship. And because of that extra weight, 10 men lost their lives, 5 of which they couldn't find. I'm trying to say to you that worry will weigh you down with a burden you will not be able to bear. And God did not make our physical bodies to go a long distance to a constant amount of time, a lengthened amount of time with worry in our system. It will make your body toxic. And there are a lot of people in the hospital today because they're worry warts, really. There's just nothing good about it. Look again at our text and notice Jesus' response to people who worry about basic things like food. He said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they don't reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, how much more are you worth than them? Now, my kids growing up, they didn't always like what Allison cooked. Most of the time they did, because she's a great cook. They didn't always like it, but my kids never said, I hope my parents are going to feed me today. Let me tell you, we fed them. And it was a monumental task. But they never went through a day that I'm aware of going, gee, I sure hope mom and dad feed me today. But isn't that what we do when we worry? Aren't we really saying, is God going to take care of me today? Is God going to take care of my kids or my parents, or my grandkids, my grandparents? Is God going to help me lead this other person that I'm praying for to become a Christian? And I hope you have people that you're praying for that are lost, that need Jesus Christ in their lives. You may be the only person praying for them. to be saved. How important is that? Notice Jesus also says about worry and clothing. And why are you anxious about clothing? Otherwise, how the lilies, observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toy nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that Solomon in all of his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, boy, how much more does he love you? Does he want to clothe you and take care of your needs? And then notice what he says as he's talking to all these folks around him. He says, oh, men of little faith. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, if you are a person who chooses to worry, and we've all done it, but you know, where you just keep on doing it, you know, you just never let up. It's just worry's a part of your life. He says that you are a person of little faith. That's what he's saying. Now, you don't want to be a person of little faith. We know in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How do we please God? By being people of faith. So if we have a little faith, then we're going to have trouble pleasing God. And if we're worrying, we're not going to have the kind of faith that pleases the Lord. That's why this subject is so worthy of bringing up often. Worry is a faithless act. What's difficult sometimes is sometimes we worry and we don't realize we're worrying. One time I was driving down the road in San Antonio, left here the church, and I was going to some meeting or something, and I was driving down, I got on 37, and all of a sudden it hit me. For the last, you know, it takes, what, 30 minutes to get almost downtown. Well, no, it used to before they put the lights. You could get to downtown before they put the lights on down on 181. Now it takes an hour to get down there, but I was almost to downtown, so over the last 35 minutes, 40 minutes, I realized, Mike, you've been worrying. And it was more than one thing. It was about two or three things that I was stressed over. And, oh, gosh, what if this or what if that or look what, you know, all of that kind of thought. That's not good. But it was good that I recognized it. What we want to do in our lives is do a better job in recognizing our worrisome thoughts so that we can deal with it. You know, and basically, what is a worrisome thought? It's an anxious thought about the present or the past or the future and about something that's out of your control. You know, I'm not going to worry about putting my clothes on. I can do that. It's easy. It's in my control. Or getting in my car and driving down here to church and doing the work that I need to do in my office. It's the stuff that's out of my control. Like the people we pray for that are sick, really sick. Or the people that have really physical impairments in their life. Or the people that are lost. Or people who have tremendous needs in their lives. Sometimes that involves money and other things. I can worry about that because it's out of my control. What are we going to do here? That's a worrisome thought. That's what God wants us to avoid. He wants us to shun and reject, because that'll just wear you out. The only difference between faith and worry is that Christians who worry say they believe, they just aren't living what they say they believe. Jesus gives us the remedy in verse 33. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, what's the first thing that you seek in the morning? Honestly, I have to say, to tell you the truth, the first thing I seek in the morning is my toothbrush. And I think God's happy about that, because 8 hours, man, you got, man, it's bad. You got to deal with that. You know, so, I mean, there are things you're going to do. He's not talking about, well, the first thought you have when you get out, you know, first thing you do, you know, that's not what he's saying. He's just talking about your overall life, okay? You know, morning, afternoon, evening, as you're living your life. He's saying this is what you ought to seek, continually seek first the rule and the character of God. Now, the reason you're seeking the rule and the character of God is not because you're going to change or deviate his rule or character in some way. No, you're seeking his rule and his character so that it might become yours, so that his character influences your character, so that his rule, his sovereign rule, might affect your life. That's why you're seeking him. And if you're worried about stuff, well, you're not seeking him. You're not trusting him. You're saying, God, I love you and everything, but you can't take care of this situation. No, that's not. You see, when he's sovereign, when he has sovereign rule, that means there's nothing out of his control. That's what that means. So I'm going to seek his rule. Lord, I know that I'm not in control over this situation with my parents or my grandparents, but you are. You are, and so I'm going to trust you. That's the kind of exercise that we're thinking about here, that we want to work, and we want to start working on if we haven't been doing it already. It may be that the very thing that worries you most is in your life so God can build character in you. So God is sovereign and he knows what to allow in your life. All this stuff and these situations, the reality and the perception of the reality. Maybe God has allowed these things into your life so that a change can occur in you for the good, for the better. So what's the best way to handle the temptation to worry? Whenever you recognize the temptation to worry, it's a signal. That's the word that ought to come up. And I thought about signals. I thought, well, man, there's all kinds of signals. Here's a signal. Put that up there, Sister Linda. That's a signal. What does that mean? That means what? Speed up. That's what that means. Speed up. Now, here's another. I think that's as big as it's going to get. You can see it, though. Here, now, what are these guys doing? They're having this group meeting. The meeting is about who's on first, right? No. These guys are having a big meeting. These are referees. I remember. And they give signals, don't they? I remember I was, went to the... This tells you how long ago this was. I went to go watch a Houston Oilers game. Remember them? And Earl Campbell was playing for them. And this girl that I went to church with, Kay, she invited me to go watch the Oilers. And so we were sitting there at the Oilers game, and she leaned over to me about halfway through the game, and they were having a meeting just like that. And Kay said, Mike, who are these guys in the striped shirt? She said, are they giving signs to the deaf? I couldn't even respond to that. We never went out again after that. That was it. I'm sorry. I just couldn't do that. There's a signal right there, right? Calling for Batman, saying we need help. Well, what they're really saying in that little deal, comic strip thing there with Batman's, they're saying we need a deliverer. When you are tempted to worry, you know what you need? You need a deliverer. And his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. So instead of wasting time worrying, here's what we want to do. We want to invest our time praying. We want to take the things, the listed things we have in our worry list, and we want to transfer them to our prayer list. That's what we want to do. Could you do that? Could you transfer those things from your worry list to your prayer list? It's a faithful thing to do. You see, when you pray about things that you were worried about, listen now. You may not change what you're praying about, but I can guarantee you, you will be changed. Maybe that's what God's after all. Maybe that's really what He wants. The rule and the character of God to change your life. The Apostle Peter gives this advice. He says in 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. So what we want to do is turn our care into a prayer. That's what we want to do. That's how we deal with the temptation to worry. That's how we act faithfully. That's how we seek first the character and the rule of God in order for God to change our lives. You see, I think God allows this stuff to come in our life because He gets a big kick out of turning bad things into good things. I mean, the story of Joseph is a great illustration of that. How Joseph was on the very bottom and everybody had written him off. God took him and made him second in command, all of Pharaoh. Only God could do that. God does those kind of things. And it always, but the picture doesn't always look that way. And that's why we trust His rule, His sovereignty. No, we want to allow God to use the difficult things in our lives to change us. 4 years of drought in California. Have you noticed? They're in need of water out there pretty bad. But I read an article this week of an unexpected consequence of the four-year drought. Albert Fossel, a lifelong gold seeker, owns the historic Placerville hardware store. It is, I got a picture of it. That's it right there. It's in El Dorado County, California, which I believe is Northern California. And that store was initiated, I think, in 1852. So it's been around a long time, and it was initiated because of the gold rush. Well, that's kind of simmered down as of late, except for the drought. He says here that he's having some of the best experiences of his life. He's 37 years old. And he said the Consumes River in southern El Dorado County was once one of a great spot for swimming and fishing. Not anymore. The river has weakened tremendously. So you can't fish and swim there anymore. But since the water is so low, guess what? It's revealing in the sediments all the gold that's still there. Because of the drought, all of this has happened. And so prospectors have been coming out of everywhere and prospecting for gold, and they've been coming into his store. He said, I see some beautiful gold coming into the store. He said, it gets my tourists all excited. You come in the store and somebody's got gold in their pocket. He says, it's amazing. Well, I'm telling you, still, going after the gold is hard work. It's not easy. You have to go through the dirt and the grit and the rocks, and you got to have a pickaxe. But if you're steady at it, if you persevere, especially through this drought that has presented a gift for these gold prospectors, man, you can put some gold in your pocket, some of that shiny stuff. I'm just here to tell you, worry is a great opportunity to allow the Lord to take his pickaxe, to work through the grit and the grime and the dirt of your life if you'll treat it in a faithful way. And if you will, God will produce some beautiful, yellow, shiny stuff in your character. When that worrisome thought comes, no, I reject that. That's a faithless act. That's out of my control. I choose to trust God. He's sovereign. I'm going to seek his rule and his character in my life. Take that, Mr. Devil, and see if the Lord doesn't produce some shiny stuff in your life. Thank God for the drought. It's a good prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for today and for your word. You see, sometimes it takes a drought to expose the good stuff. Lord, we all have this temptation to worry. It's all around us about all this stuff, whether it's physical stuff or spiritual stuff. Whether it's reality or perception, whether it's in the past, present, or in the future, you told us, do not worry. May we walk in your word, and may you produce character in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? We'll have an invitation, and you come as the Lord leads.